This episode of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast was brought to you by Black America, Inc., a Trillion Dollar Nation. Black America, Inc. is a piece of literature that details and illustrates the socioeconomic solutions that Black Americans can implement in their communities today. Whether it be being captains of our own industries, creating our own political parties, or just learning to strengthen our overall health and wealth, Black America, Inc. is what Black Americans and Americans in general need to get to the next level in 2017 and beyond. For too many years, we have been talking about the problems and not the solutions. For too many years, we have been pointing fingers at each other without talking about the solutions. This is why Black America, Inc. is important. If you're ready to build yourself up, rebuild your community, head on over to Amazon.com and order a copy of Black America, Inc. today.
Sometimes, you just gotta go!
Be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So it was no slaves in our history. Were no slave ships, were no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black, everything.
You. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, you intelligent, rebellious people. It is your boy, your host, Doe Dudes, reporting live again for episode 14 and a half of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. Today, History Live. I felt like it was just important to follow up with the integration episode with some more history, right? To stay in the vein of history. And as I was learning more and more, because that's what I do, I was just realizing that, yo, history was a lie, yo. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that the images that we saw were real. I believe that racism, brutality, all of the things that were going on in Black America were real. But I also feel like there was something that was going on that we don't talk about. And I actually mentioned it in my book, which is basically the complacency and the overall, you know, lack of proactivity in the Black community. Because you'll have these pockets of successful people, Black men and women, who are advising the Black populace to do certain things, and they're not taking heed. You know, I gave an example in the episode that you'll hear where, you know, Samuel Fuller was advising Martin Luther King to do something, and they didn't do it based upon skepticism and just not coming together, unifying. You dig? So it's like when I hear about all of this stuff, I have to realize that there must be parallels between the Black Lives Matter era and the Civil Rights Movement era. There has to be certain things going on that we need to analyze. So, another view of history from my perspective. I hope you guys learned something from it. I hope you guys soak up some gems. You dig what I'm saying? You don't have to agree with everything that I say. You know, just enjoy it. And as always, roll something, light something, and get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad.
Everything, and I know this is a fantasy. I cordially invite you to ask, why can it be? Now we can't do nothing about the past, but we can do something about the future that we have. We can make it fast, or we can make it last. Every woman queen and every man a king. And when those color lines come, we can't see between. We just close our eyes till it's all black. Everything.
You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, never leave, so there was no slaves in our history. Were no slave ships, were no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black, everything.
Man, history has lied. History lied to us. We should not be mad at each other. We should be mad at the people who wrote the history books. Now, when you have any inkling of self-knowledge or just finding out the truth, you will know that yes, the public school system has totally miseducated our youth, miseducated us, miseducated our parents, etc., etc. And one of the things that I was taught... and whether people want to admit it or not, that most young Black Americans in my age bracket, I'm 27, We were told that in the 1950s and the 1960s, black people were going through pure hell. You dig what I'm saying? They told us that we were poor and disenfranchised. They told us that we were victims. They told us that everybody hated us. They told us that we were second-class citizens. They told us all of this detrimental stuff. All of this, you know, bad stuff that was going on in this era. And because I was learning this stuff from authoritative figures, I believed it. Everything that they said. I believed in the hosings. I believed in the dog attacks. I believed in the mobs of white people jumping black men. I believed that police were out there clubbing black people all day long. I believed that the system in the country entirely just hated black people. And I feel like that's what a lot of people, especially now when we have stories of like Emmett Till being rehashed, and we have stories of racism and oppression being rehashed. We have stories of police brutality all over the news. Maybe not right now. And just for a side note, the reason why that you don't see police brutality on the news right now is because usually police brutality, as far as the media is concerned, is more of a spring summer thing. They use more of the sentimental, emotional type movements through the cold months because you're more willing to walk in the snow. You're more willing to walk in the cold weather for something that makes your heart warm. It's a psychological thing. They have manipulated the way people give, and the way people feel, and the way people, you know, sympathize or empathize on a certain movement. Right now, it's very hot. Donald Trump just won the presidency. He is, through the minds of a lot of people, a misogynist. He is rape culture. He is, you know, the embodiment of the danger of American women. So what better than to fund than the Women's March? George Soros, as we've been talking about and we know about now, has partners with 50, I believe the article said, 50 corporations and 50 businesses that orchestrated this march. So he was definitely behind a lot of this action. And when you look at what the Women's March was, it was plenty of activities to keep you warm, whether it be yelling on a microphone, dancing to music that was being yelled through a microphone, staying in a constant state of motion to stay warm, such as marching. So you'll see that. And it was just a easier target. It was an easier lucrative business move on the behalf of a billionaire to fund something that was going to get the people going. And when it comes to police killings and police shootings, that's usually a spring and summer thing. If you look at all of the major brutality videos, you'll see that was in the summertime. Mike Brown was in August. Eric Garner was in the summertime. You'll see that it was more a warmer weather thing. And I feel like that has a bunch of layers to it. You know, the fact that melanated people are more comfortable in the sun. So we're more active, we're way more, you know, able to do a lot more, such as marching, screaming, yelling on megaphones, yelling on mics, organizing, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if you look at Black America as a whole, we love the summertime, we love spring, we love these times of the year because we are able to be more active. You know, that's just what it is. So I predict that George Soros is going to put more money into Black Lives Matter once the weather breaks. But for right now, this is where we're at. And when you have all of these images coming through to your mind, you will start to believe that 50 years from now, you'll say that 2017 was one of the most racial and modern American history based upon the things that people have done. And that's the whole point. So when you start looking back and you start to compare and contrast things that were going on today and things that were going on back then, you see that there were a lot of similarities because history repeats itself. Even though history has been lied to us, it has repeated itself once you start learning the real things that's been going on. You dig? So let's jump back. Because, you know, episode 14 was about integration, I felt like this would be a perfect half episode where we are looking at the civil rights era of America. Now, during this time, if you've heard episode 14, and I hope that you listened to that before this one, but if you listen to that, I was talking about Samuel B. Fuller, a black billionaire suspected to be the richest black man in America at the time. And I did some further digging and I found out that during the Montgomery bus boycott, I actually wrote about this movement in my book because it was a powerful economic political statement. And I really feel like black Americans should, look further into that story and start to emulate those types of practices to help each other out. Because if you buy my book, you will see that we actually talk about certain businesses and endeavors that grew from that boycott. So Samuel B. Fuller goes to Martin Luther King Jr. and he says, "We have been boycotting." You know, he peeped how we boycotted, and we definitely took 75% of their consumer base. And they're low right now, and we should actually buy the bus company. As a billionaire, this is a business move that he's familiar with. He understands business. He understands finance. He understands economics overall. He knows that this would be a good business move for black Americans, that not only were we able to shove racism in their face in the name of economic prosperity, that if you're going to be so dumb to hate a group of people that you're willing to lose money, we will buy it from you because of how united we are, because of how strong we are economically, that we know that you're weak and we can overthrow you with our dollars. Boycott, movement. Martin Luther King, in the face of all of these things, was skeptical. He didn't know whether to pull the trigger. And not only that, you had the black masses at the time not trying to step up to buy the bus company. Now, when you hear this and you are Hotep in your mind, or you woke enough to understand the economic prevalence to liberation, you will see that that was a major ball dropping. You will see that not acquiring that bus company meant a lot. It was a huge ripple effect in the minds of people like me, because you now have a white racist company in the clutches of your hand that you can crush, and not only crush, but profit from because of their bigotry, because of their racism, because they felt like your black ass needed to sit at the back of that bus. They're going to learn not to mess with black people when it comes to this, because we're going to buy them and then be lucrative and be profitable amongst ourselves, because 90%+ of the black population of Montgomery, Alabama uses this bus company. You don't know how to run business because you're a racist. Let me show you what prosperity looks like in the way we run this business. And when I say they were willing to sell, I mean they were willing to sell everything. The stations, the buses, even the workers. You could have hired black men and women to drive these buses to make sure black men and women who had jobs with preferably black-owned businesses can get to work every day. This was a huge moment for the civil rights movement, and black people dropped the ball. One thing that I've noticed, that when we are learning this history in school, all we know is that we were victims, that we were at the raw end of the deal every time. And then when it's time to analyze the real things that we call progress in this country as black Americans, and we analyze it for real, we see that those victories, quote unquote, were actually just a bunch of fake glorification, the illusion of inclusion, as they say. So we surpassed buying the Montgomery Bus Company. We said no. And if you heard in the last episode, episode 14, Fuller eventually was boycotted. And of course, they found a whole bunch of things that he can charge them for. So he had to go out of business. You have to understand that when you're told about COINTELPRO, when you're told about this system that was against Black Americans, you cannot negate the fact that Black Americans were not united as you were once told. Now, they were way more united than they are today. That's a fact. But when it came down to the nitty gritty, when it came down to really setting an allegiance with your people in this country to make sure that you guys have a bright and great future, Black people were scared. Fear is the number one motivator in this country. A lot of people would like to believe that hate is the opposite of love. It is not. Fear is the opposite of love. Because with fear, you can manipulate a group of people to do anything you want. So, in the same way that they plaster Black Lives Matter protests, police brutality, victimization of Black people on the news, in the media, period, TV, period. I say that because you'll even have shows like Black-ish give you victimization in the form of entertainment, relatability, you know, identification, being able to identify with Anthony Anderson. In the same way that they have been pushing this through the media today, they've done it back then. So to discourage the Black masses, they told you that if you even to step out of line and get yours, you'll be bitten by a German shepherd. You'll be beaten by a white racist cop. You'll be hosed down by a white racist fire department. They will brutalize you. They will break you down. They will make you a victim. They'll jail you. They'll rape you. They'll kill you if you step out of line. And for the most part, Black Americans took it hook, line, and sinker. Meanwhile, you have prominent men like Samuel B. Fuller, who was unafraid, who understood that racism will always come second to capitalism, that understood that wealth meant way more than a person's opinion of you. Because like I said, Samuel B. Fuller, his workforce was 1/3, 33% white. And you know how he did it? He made sure that his race wasn't the biggest deal, that he wasn't the first Black. Not to say that he didn't have pride in who he was as a Black man, but when you're in the office, when you're dealing with business, your race should come second because you have an education, you have experience, you have skills, you have something to offer way before your skin color comes into play. You have now, and even back then, people who had nothing to offer but the color of their skin. You have people ready and able to march up the street, but not mentor the children. To the point that we have to highlight special groups like the Black Panther Party to show that Black people were about this and that. But did you ever wonder why we needed to have all of these separate groups in the first place? Did you ever wonder why it was only a small group of Black people even pushing for the liberation of everybody? I know in history class they tell you that it was everybody out there. But when you really find yourself and you get by yourself and you start to really analyze this history, when we're talking about millions of Black people in America, do you see millions of people? I think at this point, the highest get-together that we've had was the Million Man March. So you have to understand why people were marching on Washington, preaching at churches, handing out pamphlets on the corner, trying to speak truth to power. Black people were not as focused as they should have been on the business, finance, and economic presence in this country. We were solely, almost solely, focused on the social integration. That we were focused on the way people treated each other and not the wealth that we built. People like to say that you can't compare these other immigrant groups to Black Americans because of various reasons. But at the end of the day, if you turn a blind eye to the prosperity of people that even may look like you in this country, to the fact that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, that there was slavery, you will never succeed. You will never see the light at the end of the tunnel. You will always be wrapped in the problem. And all the people that you consider your oppressors have to do is give you media, entertainment, food, lifestyles that is going to perpetuate that mind state, to keep you in a state of secondary, to keep you in a place that you are less than. And people gladly eat it up, because there's a whole bunch of research that you can do. There's a whole bunch of people you can quote. There's a whole bunch of things that you can say, sometimes even do, to reaffirm your victimization in this country. But it's an entirely different endeavor to be able to build wealth, build yourself up, build your community up, take accountability, and do better for generations to come. You have to be a special type of person in the realm of Black America in 2017 to actually want better for yourself and others through your actions on a day-to-day basis. I'm disappointed in that, but I do understand that this is because history lied. They told your mother, they told your aunt, they told your grandmother that they were less than, that they were going to be subjected to whatever kind of lifestyle was dictated to them from the day that they're born to the day that they die. And it was only a small group of successful people who did not subscribe to that ideology and moved forward. But today, in 2017, where the library is free, where Google is easily accessible, where YouTube is easily accessible, where friends and family who have gone to college and who have gone to places that can allow them to teach their own new skills, new experiences, we have everything that we would ever need to become the powerhouse that we know we are, the powerhouse that we create for everybody else. History lied to us because it's profitable to be lied to. And as I say in my episodes, this is not just exclusive to Black people. This is exclusive to the American population. The reason why I speak towards the Black population is because I am Black and I live in a reality where certain things are different because I'm Black. Now, most things aren't. And I wanted to give you guys that gem as well, that when these European, let's just go ahead and just keep it all the way 100. When these white immigrants came to this country, first and foremost, they were not considered white. And secondly, their entire culture was stripped from them unless they could provide it for the economy, unless they can provide it for the country. So yeah, you may have some holidays or something, but no, we're not celebrating that. But if you have Chinese food, we'll gladly celebrate that because we want to buy it. So you may be from Italy. We may not care about your customs or your wardrobes or any of the things that you come from. But if you keep pushing out this pasta, if you keep pushing out this music, if you keep pushing out your culture in a way we can profit from it, you're good. You can be an Italian American. Same thing with the Germans. Same thing with the Japanese. Same thing with every ethnicity and other race group around this planet. Once you become an American, you strip all of the things that is not profitable in America from your old culture. And then you preach that to your children. But what I'm here to tell everybody under the sound of my voice is that you can keep your culture and also make money. So even though Chinese people on an economic level has been quote unquote reduced to Chinese food and things of that nature, they can still celebrate their customs in their own home because that's their right as Americans. So you do not have to force it on other people to celebrate. The same thing with religious beliefs, the same thing with any other custom or background that you come from. Celebrate it in your own home, in your own spaces, and you'll be fine. But the minute you try to march or demand that other people recognize it and do it as well, is where you become the racist, is where you become the bigot, is where you become the ignorant. People do not have to embrace your ideals just because you want them to. There are common grounds that we come in on, and it's usually economic. It's usually in the form of consumer goods. So you may not believe in Rastafarian beliefs, but you'll eat some Jamaican food. You may not believe in Aztecs or any of the things that came before in the ancient Mexican or Central American history, but you'll eat a burrito. You may not dig the Chinese New Year or the Chinese Zodiac, but you'll eat Chinese food. These types of common ground things is what we should be building on. The stuff that is exclusive to our culture, exclusive to our ethnicity, let's keep it to ourselves and strengthen it within our children, strengthen it within our communities. If you have a Caribbean neighborhood, if you have a Nigerian or certain type of African or any type of culture going around in America, keep that within your group. Build within your people. Because this is where history lied to us, that in order for us to progress as people, that we needed to be able to bombard our beliefs and our statutes on other people, specifically people that never would identify us in the wild, that never would identify us in nature. We are all humans, absolutely. But even before racism, even before race was a concept, you know, race came as a concept around the 1500s. If I care enough, I'll do some research before I drop this. I probably won't, though. You guys can look it up yourselves. Nah, I'm going to tell you guys. It says, no clear and unequivocal evidence of racism has been found in other cultures or in Europe before the Middle Ages. The identification of the Jews with the devil and witchcraft in the popular mind of the 13th and 14th centuries was perhaps the first signs of a racist view of the world. The period of Renaissance and Reformation was also the time where Europeans were coming in increasing contact with the people of darker pigmentation in Africa, Asia, and the Americas, and were making judgments about them. The official rationale for enslaving Africans was that they were heathens, but slave traders and slave owners sometimes interpreted a passage in the book of Genesis as their justification. Ham, they maintained, committed a sin against his father Noah that condemned his supposedly black descendants to be servants upon servants. When Virginia decreed in 1667 that converted slaves could be kept in bondage, not because they were actual heathens, but because they had heathen ancestry, the justification of black servitude was thus changed from religious status to something approaching race. So, before race as a concept, we had tribalism, that even people that looked just like us, if you didn't come from our same tribe, then it really didn't matter. So at the end of the day, tribalism, being prideful in your race, is not the problem. It's the fact that within your culture, within your race, within your tribe, there's a lack of unity. And when you look at it from that standpoint, what group of Americans that you care about are lacking in unity? There's a lot of them. They're lacking in unity and not coming together for their economic, socioeconomic progression. Once you answer that question, then you can look at history a bit different when you hear these stories, when you read these quotes, when you understand the biographies of all of these people, you can see it from a different lens. I just wanted to tell you guys this, that history lied to us, and it's up to us to understand the truth and know the truth and then move forward as a people, whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you identify as, learn your history. Know who you are and then move forward in that and be prideful in that and use that pride to be profitable, to be lucrative, and to help your community for generations to come. Steady long, steady wrong, nigga. Hey, y'all close that front door. Y'all let flies in this motherfucker. My OG up in this
spot you a mile away. I can see your insecurities written all on your face. So predictable your words, I know what you're gonna say. Who you fooling or you assuming you can just come and hang with the homies, but your love for realness ain't the same. Circus acts only attract those that entertain. Small talk, we know that it's all talk. We live in the laugh factory every time they mention your name.
Yeah, that was episode 14.5, ladies and gentlemen. History Live. Appreciate all of you guys checking me out week in and week out. You know what I'm saying? I'm really loving podcasting. You know, something I've been doing for a while, and I get to sharpen my skill more and more every time I do an episode. So appreciate you guys bearing with me through all the click noises and, you know, all of that stuff. We getting all of that, you know, situated. So stay tuned. Some final thoughts. Honestly, I'm not even gonna like draw it out because I just, you know, said a bunch. But seriously, black people, we have to understand that throughout history, there were people who were getting it, yo. And one of the biggest things that we're not doing is taking the blueprint from these people and becoming successful ourselves. We're following the people that got successful off of talking about the problem and preaching the problem. And that's just not what we can be on, because we can't use those same sentiments. We can't use the same rhetoric as people 50, 60 years ago. It's an entirely different society, yo. Y'all want to make it seem like it's not, but it is, yo. Y'all have the ability to boycott Uber and Chick-fil-A. Like, come on, yo. Y'all got Wi-Fi. It's a lot of stuff that just happens through time that does just die off, yo. And I'm not saying racism is gone and forever, but, like, it's really not that big of a factor, yo. Even with the brutality that you see, yes. Yes, when you factor in all of the stuff that's going on in society, good and bad, I promise you, you guys are not oppressed. So just start looking at successful people. Now, y'all always tell me how representation matters. So why nobody representing Samuel B. Fuller? Why nobody representing Madam C.J. Walker? Why nobody representing all of the successful black people that we got in our society, in our community? Until, you know what I'm saying, some white studio does it. If representation matters, why are we not representing? Why are we waiting to be represented? That's weird. Y'all wait for people to represent you when it's you. Rep yourself. It's your people. So just understand, yo, if we're going to make any progress here, we got to love ourselves. We got to focus on ourselves, man. And as always, man, stay intelligent and stay rebellious.
You ain't got a lie to kick in my name. You ain't got a lie. You ain't got a lie. You ain't got a lie to kick in my name.